Hello and welcome to The Inside Dish on Lehigh Valley Art Salon, where we explore the culinary arts in and around the greater Lehigh Valley. I'm Mike Drabenstadt, your host for our gastronomic tour of our region's amazing food scene. I'm here with Ed Hanna, one of the owners of Union and Finch, a casual American restaurant on Union Street between 15th and 16th in Allentown. Ed, welcome to The Inside Dish.
Thanks for having me.
Ed, I know you just celebrated your third anniversary of running Union and Finch, so congratulations on that.
Thank you.
What made you decide to open Union and Finch in the first place? Did you have a background in restaurant, or you kind of saw an opportunity? How'd you get to that point?
Yeah, not necessarily a background in restaurants. Spent the better part of my adult and professional life in New York City. And, you know, being a resident of New York, you spend a lot of time in bars and restaurants. Always enjoyed the hospitality industry. I always had the desire, even before moving to New York, to do something like that, but that's not what I went to school for. And wanted to do it in New York, but New York, you're here today, gone tomorrow. It's a very fickle industry there in particular. So originally from the Lehigh Valley, and always used to, when I come back from New York, visit J.P. O'Malley's, which was our predecessor,
right.
That ran up until 2009, and just so happened to be back one weekend, drove by the building, saw a for-rent sign on the window, called the realtor. The realtor told me that the building's for sale, and that's kind of what started the journey, because I always said that if we were going to do something in the Valley, it would be that building, because it had a lot of the bones that reminded me of the neighborhood places in New York.
And where did the name come from? I assume Union is the street.
Yeah,
how about the Finch part?
Yeah, a lot of folks think that the cross street is Finch. It's not. The Finch was chosen. The two words together really were chosen to kind of represent coming together as family and friends, unity. And in particular with the revitalization going on downtown, although we're not downtown, we really wanted a catchy name that it would stick and think, oh, that's an interesting name. The Finch came from back in the 20s when there was no Allen or Deeroff High School. It was the Allentown School District. They chose a canary as their mascot, and a canary is a finch. That was a big part of why we picked a finch. I didn't want to do Union and Canary. It just didn't flow together well. So Union and Finch was why we picked that.
And you're only a couple blocks from Allen High School,
yeah.
The home of the Canaries.
Exactly.
Right? And you did, as you said, renovated that space that was dormant for a while. What work did you have to do to turn it from J.P. O'Malley's into Union and Finch?
Well, when we started to look at the building in 2010, so J.P. O'Malley shut down in 2009, and when we started to explore purchasing the building in really the end of 2010, and got through all the zoning process and whatnot and got our feet in the door, when we started the process, it stood like it never changed, basically. So the shuffleboard was still there. All the booths were still there. We did all brand new electricity, plumbing, gas. The only thing that's really intact that was there was the bar, mm-hmm. which is over 100 years old.
Yeah, beautiful bar.
Yeah. So that's mainly the only thing. Part of the wood floors as well were original. We were able to salvage those. But everything else is brand new in that restaurant for the most part.
And let's talk a little bit, before we talk about the food, the difference perhaps of being in a neighborhood location versus, you know, something in a strip center or even more of a downtown location. What kind of feel does that impart on the restaurant? What were you looking to accomplish with that?
Great question. We took a big risk. You know, J.P. O'Malley's was shut down for quite some time. There were a lot of folks that knew O'Malley's. They knew the establishments that were before O'Malley's, but we were in a neighborhood.
Residential neighborhood.
Yeah, not on Hamilton Street,
no,
but all
right.
the developments going on. So the first year and a half certainly took us some time to build momentum. But we knew we wanted to be in a neighborhood again, because I think, one, partly because of the building, and two, we knew we were close enough but far enough from downtown. So we were at a pretty good point, albeit, you know, not on a main street, that we felt people would find us eventually if we put out a good product. And it just has a lot of character. That building, that neighborhood really does have a lot of character. And a lot of folks that come and find us, whether it's through Yelp, whatever, Google, word of mouth, they really describe us as a neighborhood gem. And that was a goal, really. And I think, you know, one of the early reviews that we got online someone that came and visited said, finally a place with some soul. And that really is what we wanted to be, a place with soul. That was critical for us. So.
Well, it seems like every time I come in, I see someone who either works or lives in the immediate neighborhood.
Yeah.
And it's someone that I mean, I live a little farther away, maybe a mile and a half, but it never fails.
Yeah. And you know, we see a lot of folks. We're happy because over the last 3 years, we're seeing a much more diverse crowd come in, which is what we wanted. And also, we're seeing folks from other parts of town come in, really. And there are folks that might be meeting up from different states, and Allentown is a convenient point. And they look up restaurants in Allentown, and they find us. So, and you know, a lot of things that we hear when people first walk in the doors, wow, this looks neat, it's cute, whatever. But it's been certainly an interesting ride to kind of see it evolve over the last 3 years.
And let's talk a little bit about food then. How would you describe the menu at Union Finch?
Yeah, so certainly casual American, but it does have a flair. You know, my wife and I, my brother, who's also a partner in this, my sister and brother-in-law, we're all from the Middle East. So you'll see certain items that have Middle Eastern or Mediterranean roots. So that was critical to kind of impose, but not traditional, right? We wanted to do some stuff that had elements of the Middle East, but a little bit of a different variety. We've got things like huevos rancheros on our brunch menu. We've got tuna tacos. We've got burgers. We do steak frites. We just rolled out our new version of the menu. It's got a gaucho steak, which has got a chimichurri sauce on it. So we wanted to keep it, you know, certainly new and inviting, but also accessible. You know, not everyone can walk into a restaurant and spend $27 on a steak. So, you know, having an $11 burger or doing burger and a beer on a Thursday night, doing wing nights, it was critical for us that we felt that we had an offering that was accessible to a wider audience. You know, not everyone has the same disposable income naturally, so we wanted to make sure that, you know, everyone felt welcome walking into our doors.
And what are some of the best sellers on the menu? Some of those things that your patrons come in for over and over again?
Certainly our burgers. That is a big seller for us. We do chicken and waffle as well, which is obviously a little bit more of a southern thing. You know, more recently with the rollout of our updated menu, this gaucho steak that I mentioned has been a big one as well. I mean, this week we sold a ton of those. You know, we also do poutine, which is huge for us, and cheese curds naturally. So, you know, a lot of the smaller plates are pretty popular. We do a hummus plate as well. But I think our burgers are definitely probably our biggest seller.
Are there some hidden gems on the menu that you would hope people order a little more often?
Yeah, for sure. I'll start with brunch. Our brunch is pretty solid and big on Saturday and Sunday. That's the one thing that we do that not a lot of restaurants do, is to offer brunch on Saturday as well as Sunday. There's a falafel cake Benedict on that menu, which is really interesting. It's a falafel patty with poached eggs. And chorizo sausage with a romesco sauce. The flavor profile is really, really good on that. So I think that's really fascinating. You know, on the dinner menu, I would say for certain the pork loin. I think folks tend to think, as you know, when they think of pork, they think of growing up dry. Ours is really good, and we just rolled it out with a different variation than what we had before with a harissa sauce. A harissa sauce is a Middle Eastern sauce. It's got a little bit of a spice and a kick to it. It's a harissa yogurt, really, but it's fantastic. And everyone that's had it, thankfully, we've had some really good feedback on that. Lunch, you know, a lot of the lunch carries over to dinner, but there are a couple things certainly that are available on lunch that are not on the dinner menu exclusively, just on the lunch. We have a chopped cheese sandwich. And living in New York, a lot of the bodegas in the Bronx and Harlem had a chopped cheese, and a chopped cheese is really just ground beef with a cheese sauce, and mustard and ketchup, but it's just really filling and tasty. The cheese sauce that we use is our special cheese sauce that we have in-house that's really on our mac and cheese dish as well. It's a hearty sandwich, though. So chopped cheese on lunch for sure.
I've never seen that in the Valley.
Yeah,
so you might
different.
Be the only
it's
place
our,
offering that.
It's our version of the Philly cheesesteak.
That sounds great. The Allentown cheesesteak, if you will.
There you go.
So what parameters do you use to determine what might make it to the menu? Are there things that are either too simple or too complex or too rooted in a particular ethnic cuisine that you don't want to go that far down the road?
Yeah, I mean, I think a number of things. First and foremost, our kitchen is tiny. And from the day that we did the renovations, J.P. O'Malley's kitchen was probably a little less than 2 feet smaller than what we did. We expanded it out just a little bit, probably 14 inches. That's all we could afford. So we certainly don't want to introduce stuff that's going to cause unnecessary labor in a really tight space, because that gets difficult. Like any other restaurant, we don't want to do stuff that's, you know, very common or just familiar necessarily. You know, we want to do stuff that has a little bit of a difference or a nuance on it. So we try to do stuff that's different, but you know, accessible. Again, I think that's important. We don't want to do stuff that's not going to sell, right? We added smelts to our menu, which is a very popular dish around the holidays for Italians. But we put it on the menu and people, oh, I know smelts, but we put a different dipping sauce with it, for instance, which is not what, you know, some of the folks that might be accustomed to having smelts have. So that was our way of kind of introducing the dish.
A little bit of a twist. Nice. So you're 3 years in. How do you keep the momentum going at a restaurant for another 3 years and then another 3 years after that? When you got to this point, you're kind of taking a breath. Like, what's the next 3 years look like, and how do you kind of maintain that momentum?
That's what I'm thinking about constantly. Having been in the neighborhood for 3 years now, and to your question earlier, it was certainly difficult the first year and a half to get the word out, right? And we're thankfully going in the right direction, but you know, we need to keep the momentum because this industry is so difficult to stay vibrant in. I think keeping fresh in terms of the menu, one, two, I'm a big believer in social media. I think social media in this space in particular is so, so critical to the success of a business. Folks are on their phones 24/7, 365, and staying connected with folks on social media is huge to us. So your traditional ways of reaching people through advertising, whether it be billboards and newspapers and all that, are slowing down. And I think social media is huge. Continuing to reach out to businesses as well. I think there's a lot of opportunities to get people in the door for lunches, for instance. Doing events, although our space is a little bit unique and difficult to do events, those are also important. So, but really just getting the word out more, continuing to grow organic, because that's all it's been. I mean, we've done very little advertising minus social media and some other magazines, but that was very minimal. So,
Ed, thanks for sharing your story with us here at WDIY.
Thank you.
I'm Mike Drabenstadt, and this is The Inside Dish on Lehigh Valley Art Salon.